What separates relationships that thrive from those that wither? It's rarely about compatibility or luck. It's about skills. Like dancing, relationships require specific moves that can be learned, practiced, and mastered. When Oprah Winfrey encountered couple skills, she remarked that it transformed her understanding of relationships, noting that learning to listen and communicate effectively is the difference between frustration and fulfillment. This isn't abstract theory. It's practical wisdom for navigating the complex terrain of sharing your life with another person. Think about it. We spend years learning professional skills, but often expect relationships to work on autopilot. What if the key to lasting love isn't finding the perfect person, but becoming the partner who knows how to nurture connection? Have you ever formulated your response while your partner is still speaking? This habit creates an illusion of listening while blocking connection. When Sebastian's wife expressed concern about their son missing him, he mentally defended his work hours and missed her actual point, that their child simply wanted to play catch with his dad. Mind reading is equally destructive. When Paul commented that a dress looked nice, his wife Peggy snapped, "So you think I need to lose weight?" Her assumption created conflict where none existed and prevented understanding. Active listening requires three fundamental skills: paraphrasing, restating your partner's message, clarifying, asking questions to deepen understanding, and providing feedback, sharing reactions honestly. Physical aspects matter too. Maintaining eye contact, leaning forward, and removing distractions signal full presence. Try this exercise. Take turns as speaker and listener, with the speaker using I statements and the listener summarizing without arguing. This practice reveals how rarely we truly listen to understand rather than respond. Imagine navigating a foreign country without knowing the language. Many couples exist in this state of miscommunication, never having learned to express feelings and needs clearly. Congruence is essential when expressing feelings. Your words, tone, and body language must align. Saying "I'm fine" through clenched teeth while avoiding eye contact breeds distrust. Honestly naming emotions, "I feel disappointed" rather than "you always let me down," creates clarity that fosters connection. The needs script provides a framework. Describe the situation objectively, express feelings using I statements, make a specific behavioral request, and include a self-care alternative. Instead of "you never help around here," try "when I see dishes in the sink, I feel overwhelmed. Would you please rinse your dishes after using them? If that doesn't work for you, I'll need to clean up first, which means I won't be available to talk until that's done." This approach transforms vague complaints into specific requests your partner can fulfill or negotiate, maintaining connection even during difficult conversations. Why do relationships that begin with promise often deteriorate? Initially, partners eagerly please each other, cooking favorite meals, planning special outings. These pleasers create positive feelings that strengthen bonds. Yet, over time, these behaviors decrease while irritations increase, creating a negative balance. Reciprocal reinforcement counteracts this trend by consciously doing more things your partner enjoys. This approach works because it establishes collaboration, produces immediate results, and requires no new skills. The process has clear stages. Create a pleasers list, identifying what you both enjoy. Provide pleasers without announcement, noting what's appreciated. Ask specifically for behaviors from the list, rather than attitudes. Focus on mutual pleasers, activities you both enjoy together. Common pitfalls include feeling victimized, dismissing non-spontaneous pleasers, and expecting mind reading. The solution? Treat the process as an experiment rather than a permanent commitment. Remember that reinforcement isn't manipulation. It's about creating a positive cycle where both partners feel valued. Have you ever said something in anger that you later regretted? When Mary berated Larry for being late and ruining dinner again, she left emotional scars that lingered long after the issue was resolved. These pejorative exchanges damage trust and connection, making future conflicts more likely. Clean communication protects self-esteem and creates safety for problem solving. It means taking responsibility for your words, expressing complete messages, and fostering closeness instead of defensiveness. Whole messages include four essential components: observations, objective facts, thoughts, your interpretations, feelings, your emotional responses, and needs, clear requests. When Laura saw a $200 check to the gardener, she transformed her communication from blaming, "You spent way too much money again," to, "When I saw the check, I thought it was excessive. I felt anxious about our finances. I need us to discuss expenses over $100 before committing." The 10 commandments of clean communication include avoiding judgmental words, rejecting global labels, "You never listen," eliminating blaming you messages, avoiding old history, and eliminating threats. Following these principles creates a foundation for productive discussion of difficult issues. Our emotional reactions to partners stem from our interpretations, not events themselves. The ABC theory shows how events, A, trigger thoughts, B, that create feelings, C. A partner gazing out a window might prompt thoughts like, "He doesn't want to be here," causing hurt, when he's simply admiring the view. 8 cognitive distortions damage relationships: tunnel vision, filtering out positives, assumed intent, mind reading, magnification, exaggerating problems, global labeling, reducing partners to negative traits, good-bad dichotomizing, black or white thinking, fractured logic, building large conclusions from small events, control fallacies, feeling completely responsible or powerless, and the letting it out fallacy, believing pain justifies punishment. The clear thinking drill challenges these distortions by asking, what evidence supports my interpretation? What contradicts it? Are there alternative explanations? What positive aspects am I missing? When Bill's wife appeared cheerful during his bad mood, he thought, "She doesn't care about my feelings." Using the drill, he recognized this lacked evidence and contradicted her supportive history. His reframed thought, "She might not realize how I'm feeling or is trying to lighten my mood," reduced his anger and created connection opportunities. Every relationship faces conflicts about children's discipline, finances, or household responsibilities. Mastering negotiation helps address differences while preserving your connection. Successful negotiation requires accepting conflict as inevitable, avoiding name-calling, separating feelings from issues, focusing on interests rather than positions, seeking mutual solutions, maintaining flexibility, and persisting through multiple attempts. Negotiations progress through preparation, discussion, proposal, counterproposal, disagreement, and agreement. Compromise methods include taking turns, trial periods, exchanges, or combining elements from both sides. When facing resistance, use leading questions and silence. Bob overcame Annie's workshop refusal by asking why she opposed it and what alternatives she suggested for their recurring problems. Negotiation isn't about winning, but finding solutions addressing both partners' core interests, defeating the problem together, not each other. For lasting relationship success, combine these skills with acceptance of what cannot be changed. By focusing on what you can control, your own behavior and responses, you create space for genuine connection and mutual understanding.